Well, it is good to be here, and I really don't know how y'all guys do it. I smell the food coming through that back door, and it's just like torture for an hour sitting here. So I don't know if we're going to get through everything or not, but we'll see. But I am David White, my wife and two sons, and one of my daughters is, they've gone to Vermont yesterday to see her brother, and so they are not with us today. But I have my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, one of my middle daughters, and the other middle daughter back there, and so we're here with you today. But I'll leave some prayer cards on the back table back there if you want to grab some. I appreciate you taking those and remembering us as you do your daily devotions or whatever, and say a prayer for us during the course of the days. I appreciate that. We've been in Chile for 7 years now, a little over 7 years. Started out in Santiago with a ministry there and a good team of pastors and missionaries working together, and learned the language, the Spanish, there in Santiago. And then we started our first church during that time as well, Trinity Baptist Church. And so it was great to see how God sort of formed everything and brought us all together and as a group. And then we were able to start the ministry and worked alongside of a young Chilean pastor that was in seminary at that time. He was in his 20s. And so we worked with him, and then as we finished up language school for 4 more years, we were there pastoring with him during that church plant. And so God was just blessing, and it was a great ministry, very great time of ministry. We really enjoyed the team atmosphere and being there with them. And then God just continued to bless. For us, it was difficult because as a family, I guess family is different because going from rural, we're from Raleigh, North Carolina, our sending church, New Baptist Church, to a city of 7 million people, where your neighbors are right outside your window, is a little different. But it was a good time of ministry, and God really blessed in the 5 years there. About 2 years into that ministry, two or 3 years, we ended up having a large Haitian immigration to Chile from Haiti. They opened the doors for the Haitians to come as a relief, and there in our community of Santiago, we lived in the community of Quilicura, and the Haitian immigration just exploded. And so as a result, we felt like the God had have us to start a Haitian ministry as well, part of our church was separate churches, because they didn't understand. Most of them did not understand Spanish. They were learning Spanish when they got there, but they, out of habit, they wanted to go to church. So we had several that were there in church, but not really understanding anything. And so we said. In May, we're going to start a Haitian ministry. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We have a few guys, but no one can interpret for us. And so we set a date, and about 2 weeks before that date, a new Haitian man moved to our area, started coming to church, and he was perfect in Spanish, perfect in Creole. And so he ended up interpreting. We did all their singing, everything was they handled in Creole, and then we preached in Spanish, and they translated in Spanish, and they're still doing that today. When we left the ministry, we had about 60 to 70 in the Spanish church and about 40 to 50 in the Haitian church. And so I never dreamed I was going to Chile to reach Haitians, but God was working, God was moving. And one of the lessons that we saw in that ministry was teaching our people, the Spanish people, how to relate to the Haitian people and just to intermingle them. And I can remember after our first year, we celebrated with the Haitian ministry, the big anniversary they had, and one of our Spanish guys, one of our main guys there, came up to me and said, "Pastor, I'm so glad you started this ministry. I didn't want to start it because I was racist. But I can see now that God was working through all that to reach me as a Chilean." And so it was great to see how God worked in that ministry and worked through everybody's lives there in Trinity Baptist Church. About 2.5 years ago, we started praying, about 3 years ago, I guess it was, that God would start working, and we really wanted to had a burden for the southern part of Chile. And we were in the metropolitan area there, 7 million people in the city, 17 million people throughout all the country. Outside of Santiago, there is really not a whole lot of ministries. There are some missionaries, there are some Baptist churches, but not the same as what you find in Santiago. And so we started praying, God started working in one of our families that was in our church. Her sister, her twin sister, her husband died, and they were from the city of Castro in the island in Chile. And so she came up, and after he died and we started talking, she just started talking about the need there in the island of Chile. And so we started praying, and shortly, within 4 or 5 months, we were moving there and leaving Santiago and moving to the island of Chile. And Chile is an island. I say island, but it's about the size of Rhode Island as far as in land area. We have about 150,000 people on the island and surrounding islands that make up the island. In our city that we are in, Castro, about 50,000 people. And so we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary in April, and God's been good. In the 1 year, we started off with a little Bible study in our house, and then found a place to rent, a house that we have now, and God's just really brought a team together of families, and it's been great. We have one family that we were leaving Santiago that week, and one of our really faithful families in the church, he called me. He's like, "Pastor, can I meet with you?" I'm like, "Oh no, I don't want to meet with you. That means trouble." And so they all came to the house, and they're like expecting something bad. They all came with smiles, and he said, "Pastor, I just got a job transfer, and we're moving down south." And so they ended up moving within driving distance, and so they helped us out. And so it was great to have them to work that out where they were there. Another family from another sister church in Santiago who had already been there, a really faithful family, are helping us, and very faithful members as well. And then other families that come along inside us as well and enter the church. It's just been great to see how God's working, God's changing lives. That's the point, is not just to sit in service, but to change lives. And it's great to see how God can bring His plan together in spite of what we thought, and in spite of what our plans were. He can do His work. And about a year ago, October, November last year, one of our men, he had five young kids. And they came to us from another background, and doctrinal background, and they came to us and just really started growing, really became faithful, and doing a really good job. And he was really concerned about his kids, and he's like, "Pastor, can we start a Christian school?" And I was like, "I don't want to start a Christian school, to tell you the truth, but I'll pray for you for 2 weeks." And so I did, and me and my wife, and then we ended up starting a Christian school this year as well, earlier this year, with their family and our family. And so just pray for us as we continue with that. He now has, since we've arrived, he's about in his 40s, about my age, 45 or so, and he has a brain aneurysm in his house, but they can't do any operations because of the COVID situation. All the hospitals will have room for him. And so they're pretty much just sending him home, just hoping that he doesn't have anything major before they can get to him, whenever that might be. So it's already been about 3 weeks. And he's messing with yesterday, he's really, really upset. So just pray for them, pray for that situation. But his name is Sergio, if you can remember Sergio in your prayers. But so we started at school, and then because of COVID, we ended up having to shut everything down in March. The government mandated everything be shut down. And so that's where we sort of ended it. Started the school year and ended the school year in about two months, I guess it was. But we're looking forward to getting back and starting back up in this coming year, hopefully, and I'm praying about that. So another prayer request, we really need somebody to come to help us with that situation, with teaching a young person or a single person or a family that would be interested in coming along and helping in that area. So just pray for that and that need that we have there. Also, we're praying we need to find land, we need to build a church. But God has His time, God has His plans, and we're just looking forward to taking part of it. And so just continue to pray for us, and we appreciate it. There on the island is, some people were asking me, what's Santiago varies according to where you are. The metropolitan area of Santiago is very different than where we are now in the ministry. The ministry, I would think, would be something similar to here. Even in geography, we're similar to what it looks like here in this part of Maine. But we're in Santiago, everything was very rapid, and people were more open to religion, and a lot of mix of foreigners and a lot of mix of religions or whatever it might be. And the island, we knew that going in, it would be a lot slower of a ministry, just because they're more closed off relationship-wise. Also within the distance of the communities as well. But just there on the island, we have a large, we're talking about people that look like you and I, but we do have a lot of a large influence of witchcraft mixed with Catholicism. And so it's very difficult to try to go and change that person without a relationship. So there's a lot of relationship building. Obviously, the Word of God is what does the teaching, the preaching, and changing. But with the attitude, you have to be able to build a relationship with them. So I pray for us that we start that. And we God's doing the work, and we're very excited about it. And we're excited to see what God has in mind in there in Chile, Castro and Chile. I don't know. I'm going to open it up for just a few questions. If anybody has any, if not, we can talk at dinner or whatever. But anybody have any questions, real quick, about Chile, about us, about our family? No. Everybody knows everything. Okay, good. So we'll just move along. I'm going to ask my daughters to come up. We're going to sing a song real quick before we get going into the message. This is a song. We're going to do the first verse in Spanish. If you don't understand Spanish, just hold on a minute. The second verse will be in English. It's talking about the need for people to go into the world. Not only Chile, but here in Maine, but all around the world. And as a Christian, we have a mandate. We have a command to go to the world with the gospel. And that's what our job as Christians would be. I obviously grew up in a pastor's house, knowing that I wasn't going to the ministry. I was open. I was willing. I was ready to do whatever God wanted to do, but I knew I wasn't going to the ministry. And so, going through college, went to college, got a business major, and then went into business, and Lord worked out. We ended up doing construction and under a construction company in there in Raleigh, North America. Where are we at?
North Carolina.
And so we were there and just being faithful members in a church and doing what God had called us to do, helping with teenagers, deacons, whatever it might be. And I remember we were into the business and several years into it, and we really were where we wanted to be. We were fulfilling the American dream, as you always want to say. And God started working in my life privately. And I was studying the book of Ecclesiastes. Our pastor had asked me to do a men's meeting on the book of Ecclesiastes and started studying it. And really, God just started working on my heart. And get down into verses in chapter 2, and Solomon's talking about everything that he had and what is vain without the what, if he weren't using it for God, if it wasn't because of God. And he got down to, I can't remember, 5 or 6 or whatever verse it is. He says, I builded me houses. I looked at that verse, I'm building me houses too. I like doing it. It's something I enjoy doing. And God started really working on my life. And just the following week, we ended up having a missions conference, and my wife and I surrendered to go to the missions and knew that that was what God wanted us to do. So we ended up preparing for that. And knowing that as the events unfold and we get to Chile, knowing that God, during that whole 20 years of, I was open and willing to go to the missions as a young person, but I was 37, I think, when we ended up going. And I can look how God was preparing my life for what he had in Chile. It wasn't that I needed to be a certain person. It's what I needed to do for Christ. And he was developing that in my life. And we got to the mission field. And honestly, the construction industry, the construction part of the ministry was a huge, huge part of the ministry there in Chile, South in Santiago, where we had a team of about 10 churches and good additions on about 6 of them, and our own churches. And it's just, it was neat to see how God, if I look back and say, why can't I just go? When I'm deputation, I was running around with all these kids. Some of the kids aren't even born yet. And I'm like, man, God, why can't we just go out of Bible school and go to mission field? It'd be a lot easier. We can just travel around. But you know what? God was preparing us through all that time for what he had in the future. And it's neat to see how God can use you no matter what your background, no matter what, as long as you're willing and able. If you're willing, he can make you able to do what he wants. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so as long as that's sort of been my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not in thy own understanding. Let him do what he wants to in your life. Yeah. Let him lead where he wants to. And be willing to go where he wants you to. Take your Bible today and turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at the story of Christ as he's ending up his ministry here on the earth. He's already been crucified. He's risen from the dead. And so we're now into this last 40 days that he was here in the ministry as a bodily ministry, is what we're saying. He knows he's getting ready to leave. He knows he's getting ready to go to heaven. And his disciples will be here to continue the ministry. And as you think about everything that would have passed through in those 40 days, in that short amount of time that he had here, we're going to start with that story and look in chapter 24 of Luke and look in verses 13. Well, 13, and we'll read down through verse 18. And it said, behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they had come, communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another? And as you walk, are you sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas? Answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things that have come to pass there in these days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity to come here to Second Baptist today. Thank you for those that are here. I continue to pray for those that are traveling and this weekend. Give them safety. Thank you for the time you're able to spend with some of them this week. And just pray to you, just continue to bless them. Thank you for this time together. Continue to bless us in this as we open our hearts so we can understand what you have, and just we can take something with us that we wouldn't be the same person coming in here that we're leaving today. Just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So as we look in the story, we see this, and it's very interesting how Jesus, in this latter part of his in this time, we look and you see how during different situations, those that he come in contact did not recognize the Jesus, the risen Savior. And you look at these guys, and they're all sad. And Jesus says, "Why are you sad?" And they come in different situations in our life. And this is how many of us are today as well. And we come in different situations in our life, and we forget about everything that had passed. We forget about how God is taking care of us, and we come and we look and we say, "Where's God?" Title of this message would be "Walking with God and Not Knowing It." Walking with God and not knowing it. And as we come into this, we look in this first point, they were looking at the circumstances instead of the Savior. They're looking at the circumstances instead of the Savior. And as you can see in the story, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's victorious over death, over sin, and he comes into this to be with his people and different instances, and you see how they don't recognize him, but his disciples are walking, and you also think about Mary, and when they went to the tomb, they didn't recognize him. You know, think about when he went to the upper room with the disciples, they didn't recognize him. And then God reveals himself, or Jesus reveals himself as to who he is. And he comes to these guys and says, "Why are you sad? What are you sad about?" It's interesting to see what their reply is in verse 18. "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things that have come to pass in these days?'" They're saying, "Are you a stranger? Do you not know anything?" They're talking to God, who knows everything. But I said, "Do you not know anything? Have you been in quarantine without internet for 6 months or what?" And it's like everybody in Jerusalem knows what's just happened. The man who was called Messiah, who we thought was going to be our Savior, has been killed. Well, he's dead. They were sad, and it was the third day. You see in the text right there, it was the third day as they're walking, and you think about what was supposed to happen on the third day. He's supposed to raise from the dead, right? But they didn't realize that. They didn't remember that. They're looking at the dead Savior, not the risen Lord, and they're looking at what has come to pass. Their teacher and their friend was dead now, along with all their hopes, along with their faith. It's just all dead. It's all in vain. And then they were thinking that the Romans have crucified the one and only hope that they had of coming out. He had told them he was going to be king of what? Everything. But he was dead. They were looking at him as a king that would save them from some Rome or what. And now the Romans have killed this same guy. The situation was not very good. The situation is pretty, you look at the situation, you can see why they're sad. But you're sad, they are sad because they were looking at the situation. They were thinking about the year and a half, 2.5 years that they had been walking with him. They were thinking about the 2.5 years that they had been listening to him or sitting under his teaching. Have they been learning from him? But that was all for nothing, and he was dead now. He disappointed them, just like many we are sometimes. We're disappointed in our life. We're disappointed in the circumstances of our life, the way that we have planned, the way that we thought things were going to go. And what? Everything changes. Our marriage is not the same as it was. Our kids are not the same as it was. Our job situation is not the same as it was. Our country is not the same as it was. If we look at the circumstances, yeah, it can be difficult sometimes. If you look at the circumstances instead of the Savior, it can be difficult. All their hope had gone away. And he says, "Why are you sad?" Jesus is asking. And they said, "Because of the circumstances. I'm sad because things are not going the way that I thought they were going to go. I'm sad because we lost our hope, our confidence, our faith. We based our whole life in this man named Jesus and a God, and now he's dead." And you look and see in Hebrews What does it say? Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is saying what? Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. If we look at the circumstances of life, they're going to change. I can think of this past 2 years in our ministry there in Chilliwe. We just got started most of 2019 Chile is known to be one of the most stable countries in South America. And in 2019, there were protests for pretty much all of 2019. Started off with teachers, went to government, went to students. The students that were in school last year, they got about three months of schooling. And you look at all the uprising and turmoil that happened, and then we come into 2020, and we start a Christian school. And we're like, yeah, we're going to be able to teach these kids. And they had 2 months of schooling this year, and they're still shut down. And then around the rest of the country, the rest of the world, the restrictions there and our island, they shut off the island where we could not leave and other people could not come in. And unless you're a resident of the island, you could go and they had to do quarantine and come back. But the other parts in Santiago where our ministries were, they had to print off a permit to go grocery shopping for 2 times a week. They had to print off a permit to go walk their dog for 30 minutes every day. And it's just ridiculous. And so you try to do ministry in that type of situation, and you try to do all this planning that you have gotten ready for the whole year. And we're like, what in the world is happening? But you know what? It's a circumstance. It's not a God. My God's never going to change. Our calling's never changed. And no matter what happens, we look at the circumstances, and it's like the waves. We went down to Caroline and I went to Portland yesterday and went down to the lighthouse. And she wanted to go touch the water. I was like, oh, I don't know about that, Caroline. We got down on the rocks. There's a bunch of people down on the rocks. And she wanted to go down. I was like, no, you better not, Caroline. Let's watch and see. And we were just watching and people coming and going, and within a few minutes there's a big wave coming. Right where she would have touched the water, it would have covered her. And that's like what it was in our life sometimes. We have ideas, we have dreams, but we get covered, we get washed out. But you know what? Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus. When it's in that, we don't lose hope. When it's in that, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It could be difficult times. Yes, we're going to face those. It could be our future is not secure in worldly terms, but it is secured in heavenly terms. And so we are going and we're just passing through this time for a few days of turmoil here on the earth, but we have an eternity in our future. And the few days that we have here in this world, in comparison to our eternity, is nothing. And we're so thankful to God that as we prepare for the eternity, that our hope is secure because we're looking at our Savior, we're looking at Jesus. The next thing you want to look at is that they are looking at their past instead of the present. Let's continue reading the story. They're looking at the past instead of the present. Verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? This is talking about Jesus again. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, ministry in the deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to condemn to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that should have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early sepulchre, and when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which had said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so. And as the women he had said, but he and him they saw not. You look at that and you think about it, all they're looking at, and everything, their reply is, Jesus is asking, why are you sad? What's the meaning of this sadness you come across? And you look at it and say, he was a prophet. He doesn't say he is. He says he was. Their hope in God, the man that they had all their confidence in, no longer was the guy that they thought he was. They say he was sentenced to die. And then he was crucified. But the saddest part of all, if you look in verse 21, it says, but what? We trusted, past tense. We trusted in that. And they're looking, instead of looking at the present with Jesus, they're looking at the past and what was there behind them. Many times our spiritual life is blocked because we are focusing on what was in the past. And our time with Jesus there. we can't get past the time that we have with Jesus back here to going forward. Something in our life changed, the circumstances changed, the situation changed, we lost our hope. And we can't go past that because it was so good back there. You might still be in church. You may not have been in church. You may have left the church. And if you think about this in our ministries and in the churches that we've participated in over the years, how people were pillars in the congregation. They were working, singing, teaching, doing whatever they needed to be done until something changed and they couldn't get over it. And you see something and now where are they? They want to talk to you about the good old times. You guys say, hey, well, how you doing? Oh, you know what? I remember when I was teaching. I remember when I was serving. I remember when God was in the church. I remember God was in my life. And they want to focus on that in the past. They want to keep on going. But you know what? It's when their relationship was strong with God. And they could see the hand of God in their life, in their ministry, their family, their workplace, whatever it might have been. But now it's just a memory. Just a memory. And they aren't doing anything for Christ now. They're just passing time. They come to church, sit down, and go home. Come to church, sit down, and go home. Or maybe they just stay home. Because, why? They don't have that relationship with Christ that they once had. And they're not growing. They're not walking with God. And their walk they did have was just a memory now. And the guys in the verse that said, we trusted in that man. We trusted in God. We had a great time with him. But that was the past. Today's the third day. He's not risen. But you look and he said, but even with the circumstances of the ladies that were coming and say, hey, he's not there anymore. They still can't get past that he had died. That he had died in his third day and they still haven't seen the guy. And they look and everything, but our God our is still the same. Our God that we have in our life is still the same that we had in the relationship that we had last year, yesterday. The God that we have today, we can still have the relationship with tomorrow. Amen. The power that we had in the years before, we can still have that same power in the years to come. Right. And we're walking and we're keeping our walk, but we want to look back in the past, but we still need to move up to the forward and to the future. We need to still live in the present with the same God that we had in our past. And we talk about it, but we need to also do it. We need to walk with it. We need to live it. And the third thing you want to see there, they're looking at the conditions instead of the promises. Looking at the conditions instead of the promises. Continue reading with me in verses 25. They said unto him, O fool, slow of heart to believe on the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken out. All not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory. He's like, what? This is what they're talking about. This is what the Old Testament was going to mention. Messiah was going to come. He was going to die and he was going to raise again on the third day. Continue with me in verse 27. In the beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. And he's like, let's go back to the Old Testament, guys, and let's start this all over. And let's continue on reading. Then they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening, and the day is spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat with meat, and he broke the bread, and he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sights. They spent all day with Christ, walking. And they didn't know it. They spent all day thinking about how good life had been. But they were looking at the conditions of today instead of the promises of yesterday. You don't need to look at the past, but you do. You need to look at the past. You can learn from the past. But you can't live in the past. You can go. Matthew 27:63 says, what does it say about Jesus? It says, after 3 days, I will rise again, it says. Hey, they forgot about this promise. They forgot that God, Jesus, this is the same Jesus. It wasn't even in the Old Testament. But he goes and says, remember back in the Old Testament. Let's go back. We'll do a history lesson, boys. Let's go back to Moses and start all over. And it says, in what verse is it? 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He found them. It was a long day. It was a long walk. They had a lot to talk about. And you can imagine Jesus as he starts with Moses and just tells how the redemption is coming through the man named Jesus, through the Messiah that was coming. And you talk about how throughout the law of Moses and the prophets, and the Messiah was coming to save and set the captive free. And he got up to Solomon, and he's like, this guy was altogether lovely. Beloved, my friend. Talk about Isaac, and child so strong, the government would be upon his shoulders. They like that part. And then he's called the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. There would be no end of this storm. And Jesus continues with Jeremiah, and he says, behold, these days, saith the Lord, thou will rise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in all the earth. And they start remembering little by little what the prophets had said about this man. And he's talking about Ezekiel, how he's going to plant a new plant, and that was going to be renowned. And Daniel, the stone of a mountain, the God of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He runs through Joel and how he's the hope of the people, and through the book of Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, all the way up until he gets to Zephaniah, and the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee and is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, and he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Talks about Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, how the salvation was coming, and the salvation was in the Redeemer, the Messiah. And they talk about this all day long as they're walking. He says that it's the sun setting in here at the end of the story. And what does he say? Look, guys, I'm him. I'm the one that the guy was talking about. I'm the one that Moses was talking about. I'm the one that Amos was talking about. I'm the one that all these prophets were talking about. Just remember and read your Bible. Look at me. Look up. I'm here with you. Don't worry about it. You know the Christ. Know and live with him. Don't miss out living with Christ, because he is here. You don't have to miss it out. You don't have to miss out on the blessing of a life with Christ. Because why? Because he's here with us.
Amen.
The same God that was in the Old Testament, same God that's in the New Testament, same God is with us today, 2,000 years later.
Amen.
We still have the same one. And as we concluded this morning, as a Christian, are you looking at the circumstances instead of the Savior?
Yeah.
Are you looking at changes instead of the one that controls the changes? Are you trusting your Savior? He's still there. He's still in control. Are you looking at the past instead of the present? Are you continuing your walk daily with Christ? Are you continuing your walk? Are you continuing your service? Or is it just a memory that you once had? And also, three, are you looking at your conditions instead of the promises? Trust in God's promises. The Bible is full of promises that we can go back and look. I can't remember the exact number. Pastor, do you remember the exact number of this? Hundreds, if not thousands. I can't remember exactly. A promise is for us as the children of God. And he's there. He's not going to fail us. It doesn't matter what the situations are. It doesn't matter what the nation is. It doesn't matter who's the president. Our God is God. And we can continue on with our life in Christ. We continue on with our service to the God that we love. And he can bless us. And only him. And we can enjoy that fellowship. You think about these two guys, and they were there. I wonder how many times after that they thought, man, you know what? We spent the whole day with Jesus. The last day we saw him. And as soon as we knew him, he was gone. I wish I would have saw him without it when we started to walk. I wish I could have talked to him as Jesus, as their Lord, instead of just as man that's on beside him. And you think about maybe the regrets they had of that day, but also the blessing that they had through the teaching of Christ. We need to enjoy our fellowship with Christ.
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge it, but we also need to take part of it. And don't let it go to waste. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for this time you've given to us. Continue to help us as we continue the services today. And that you bless this time together. Thank you for how you are there in control. And no matter what our situations are, no matter what the circumstances might be, we can always rely on you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you're God. And thank you that we serve a mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.